brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, one of my favorite professors I had at the seminary was Dr. Jeff Gibbs. Dr. Gibbs was profoundly influential for both Pastor Troy and myself in our formation as pastors. And both of us reference him a lot in our preaching and teaching. Gibbs is a Greek and New Testament scholar, and much of his work has focused on the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, he's written this short three-volume commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. It's almost 2,000 pages long. So he knows a thing or two about Matthew. Now, I've only read snippets of it here and there, but what I have read is really good and helpful. One of the things that Dr. Gibbs is really good at is taking a familiar Bible passage and showing how we typically understand it with a common understanding really isn't what the passage is about. And this is both awesome and frustrating for me. It's awesome in that it helps me better understand Jesus, the Bible, and Christianity. But it's frustrating in that once he dismantles my familiar understanding of a passage, I don't know what to do with it then. Now, Gibbs isn't coming up with new interpretations of passages from Matthew. He's simply taking a closer look at these passages, connecting them to the rest of Matthew, the New Testament, and the Bible as a whole. And through his work, he offers a faithful interpretation of the text. Now, I bring up Jeff Gibbs and his commentary because today's reading from Matthew is one of those familiar texts that has a common understanding that, really, upon a closer examination of the text, isn't quite what it's really about. Today's reading is the parable of the sheep and the goats, one that is probably familiar to most of us. And this parable is commonly understood to mean that at the final judgment, when Jesus returns, he will divide all people into two groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep are those who cared for the least of these, my brothers, that is, the poor and the needy. And the goats are those who didn't care for the least of these, my brothers. So those who served people in need really served Jesus himself. And those who failed to serve people in need failed to serve Jesus himself. Therefore, this parable functions as an exhortation or command to serve the poor, to care for people in need. Well, in a very broad sense, this parable may be suggesting that we as Christians should seek to care for those in need. Elsewhere, God's word is full of commands to love and serve our neighbors. And this would certainly include caring for the poor and the needy. For we are even called to care for our enemies. But upon closer examination of this parable, we'll see that this very broad exhortation to care for people in need is not the primary meaning of this passage. So hang with me as we investigate further what Jesus is talking about through this parable. This parable of the sheep and the goats is specifically a parable about the final judgment, and it falls within a larger section of teachings about Jesus' return. Jesus has spent nearly two chapters in Matthew 24 and 25 talking about his second coming. The parable of the sheep and the goats also follows two other parables about the final judgment: the parable of the 10 virgins, and the parable of the talents. Jesus evidently wanted his disciples and wants us to know something about his second coming. Interpreting and understanding parables can be a bit tricky. But one helpful way in understanding a parable is figuring out who the characters in the story are, and then figuring out which characters I or we identify with. So who are the characters in this story? Well, first there's the Son of Man, also called the King. Then there are all the nations who are divided into two subgroups, the sheep and the goats. And there are also the king's brothers. And these are the main characters in this parable. There's also a few supporting characters. There's the Father, the good angels, and the devil and his angels. But this parable really focuses on the king, the sheep, the goats, and the brothers. So let's spend some time unpacking each of them. The king is identified as the Son of Man, who is Jesus. Jesus is the king over creation now, but we only see that through the eyes of faith. Just by looking at the world, it often or usually doesn't look like Jesus is reigning, but he is. And on the day of his return, there will be no doubt that Jesus is king. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Everyone will see and know that Jesus is king. The king will be sitting on his throne, and standing before him will be all the nations. Now, all the nations are essentially every person who has ever lived. Everyone. And so before the throne, all the nations are divided into two groups: the sheep and the goats. Every human being falls into one of these two categories. A person is either a sheep or a goat. There's no in-between group. Either you're in or you're out. And each group acts accordingly. The sheep do sheep things, and goats do goat things. The sheep care for the least of these, my brothers, while the goats do not. And notice that the sheep are sheep and the goats are goats, all along, well before the judgment ever happens. And also note how Jesus describes each group. Jesus calls the sheep blessed by my Father and the righteous. To be blessed in Matthew is synonymous with being saved. To be blessed also recalls the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. And to be righteous means to be made holy by the King, to be in a right relationship with the Father once again. To be a sheep is to be blessed and righteous. However, the king calls the goats, "You cursed." To be cursed is to reject the king. To be cursed is to be cut off from the Father. So the sheep are blessed and righteous while the goats are cursed. And furthermore, because the sheep are blessed and righteous, they're invited to inherit the kingdom prepared for them, while the goats are sent into the eternal fire prepared for the devil. Therefore, the sheep are Jesus' disciples, those who believe in and follow the king, who cared for the king's brothers. The goats are those who have rejected Jesus, the king, who have not followed him, and didn't care for his brothers. By virtue of our baptism and faith in Christ, we are sheep. God has made us his sheep. We are blessed or saved by our Heavenly Father. We've been made righteous by the life, death, and resurrection of our King. We hear the voice of the King and follow him. We obey his commands. We love and serve our neighbors, particularly those whom the King calls the least of these, my brothers. We are sheep. And the final group of characters are the brothers. Who exactly are the king's brothers? Who are the least of these, my brothers? Jesus distinguishes the brothers from the sheep and the goats. And a big key into understanding this parable hinges on properly understanding who the brothers are. Well, if we go with the common understanding of this parable, the brothers are all those in need. However, I've already suggested that this is not really an accurate interpretation of this text. For one, the idea that the least of these, my brothers, is synonymous with the poor and needy was not a common thought within Christianity until the 20th century. For most of the church's history, then, brothers has been understood to mean something else. Additionally, we can look to see how Jesus himself uses the term brothers. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus never uses the term brothers to refer to the poor. Instead, Jesus repeatedly uses the term brothers to refer to his disciples, to those who follow him. For example, in Matthew 12, Jesus states, "While Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" Those who do the Father's will are Jesus' family. Therefore, all Christians are Jesus' brothers and sisters. We are Jesus' family. We are his brothers and sisters. As stated earlier, Christians are called to care for their neighbors, even their enemies, regardless if they are a Christian or not. However, God's word also commands Christians to specifically care for other Christians. We should care for all in need, yes. But if we don't care for those in the body of Christ, something is missing. He'd be like a father who is really great at caring for all of his neighbors, but neglects his own family. Something is wrong. A local congregation absolutely ought to seek to care for the needs of the community surrounding it, even the needs stretching to the furthest corners of the world. But it first needs to care for its own brothers and sisters who are widowed or orphaned, sick and unemployed, lonely and discouraged. And so, sheep love other sheep. And so, I thought that this parable was really an encouragement for Christians to care for other Christians. I thought that this parable was talking about concern for one another in the body of Christ. This is not a general parable about doing good, but it doesn't exclude caring for people outside the church. It's a parable about how things go among the people of God. Or so I thought, until I ran into good old Dr. Gibbs again. So far, we've narrowed down the King's brothers from all who are poor and in need to fellow brothers and sisters in the church. But Gibbs narrows the brothers down even further. He identifies the brothers as those Christians, those sheep specifically sent to proclaim the King's message. That is, those Christians called to preach and teach the good news of Jesus. Gibbs does this by closely examining this parable and connecting it to the rest of the book of Matthew. Jesus associates himself very closely to the work of the church, that is, to the spreading of the gospel to the world. In a very broad sense, every Christian is called to be a messenger of Jesus, to spread the gospel into the world. To different degrees, all Christians are called to participate in making disciples of all nations. But within the church, the body of Christ, some Christians are uniquely called to be special messengers of the gospel, called to be pastors and missionaries and teachers of the church. Jesus has determined to share the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation through him via human means, through special messengers called and sent to proclaim the gospel. And Jesus intimately connects himself to those called to be his special messengers, those called to be pastors, missionaries, and teachers. Jesus connects himself to these messengers not because of anything special within these individuals, but because of the message, the gospel, these messengers are sent to proclaim. For this message is the message of Christ. Jesus is so closely connected to this message that he stated, "Whoever receives the word of his messengers receives Jesus himself." Gibbs closely connects the parable of the sheep and the goats to Matthew 10, where Jesus sent out the 12 disciples as missionaries to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news about Jesus. Jesus warned his disciples that many would reject them and even persecute them. But he also encouraged them with these words: "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. The little ones that Jesus refers to here are the disciples, the apostles, his sent ones. To receive one of Jesus' sent ones is to receive the message about Jesus and to receive Jesus himself. To offer a cold cup of water to one of these little ones is to care for those whom Jesus has sent into the world as his messengers. He gives notes that in the New Testament and early Christianity, offering aid and hospitality to a messenger indicates that you have believed the message he has brought. He goes on, when people receive the proclaimers and believe their message about the Christ, they are receiving Christ himself. Therefore, in today's parable, the brothers are those specifically called to share the king's message through the word and sacrament ministry of the church. So when the king declared to the sheep, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Jesus is referencing people that have received his messengers and his message. To give the king food or drink, to welcome him, to clothe him, and visit him is to receive Jesus. It is to have faith in him. It is to receive Jesus by receiving his messengers and their message about Jesus. Through these acts of kindness, Jesus is describing the faith of the sheep. For sheep do sheep things. The sheep are those who have received Jesus because they have received his messengers and taken care of them. While the goats are those who have rejected Jesus because they have rejected his messengers. Because the sheep have been blessed by the Father and made righteous, they have received the King and his message, and they will inherit life with their King and the new creation. Jesus, the King, has made you his sheep through his message given to you in your baptism, the preaching and teaching of his word, and in his body and blood. As his sheep, you hear his voice and follow him, living as his disciple. Loving and caring for the brothers, your fellow sheep, and even the goats of the world. As the King's sheep, we eagerly long for his return. Life under the King is truly a blessed and righteous life. Life filled with love and service toward others. Life eagerly waiting for the King's return. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our King. Amen.